This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, let's bow our heads to pray and invite the Lord to come and make this a fruitful session. Father in heaven, your vision is as wide as the world and beyond. And we invite you to come here by your Holy Spirit to help us see what you see, to give us creative ideas of how we can help facilitate a worldwide vision among those whose lives we touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so just take yet a moment while you're reading your passage, looking for something in Proverbs 29:18. It says, without a vision, the people perish, or it's often translated, they scatter. And those who have studied these things have discovered that the vast majority of North American Protestant missionaries sensed a calling to missions by the time they were 14. That's very significant for teachers, parents, children's workers, and so on. Let's see, did you get a handout, miss? Okay, OB, there's a lady here that... So you look at one of these passages, 2 through 10, any one of them, and see what it says about vision, about immigrants, about the nations, the people groups. I'll give you one more minute to work at it, and then we'll start gathering what you've found. And if you can't find in there some reference to immigrants or strangers or nations, then just think, how might this passage, what might it have to say about vision or creating vision or becoming a world-aware kind of person? Okay, now that you've done that, helping you to get acquainted with me a little bit, I grew up out in Oregon, and when I was 5 years old, my parents moved us up to northern Alberta, Canada, to a small mission church. My dad had, 3 years in a row, had crop failures. It finished him off. So he moved back to Oregon with more children and lots of debts. But you know, they began developing a ministry to international students in a university about 11 miles away from us. And for those years, they had a constant stream of international students coming through their home. And that really marked me. In high school, I took 3 years of French, thinking I'd go back to Canada someday. I did, but not to French-speaking Canada. And later on then, the Lord opened the door for us to go to Central America. And then we ended up, through no fault of our own, in New York City, where we've lived now for 30 years, in a community where we are the minority, and we just as often hear Spanish as we hear English. It's been the greatest life, folks. It is so great. If reincarnation were true, did you hear me that it's not true? If it were true, I'd like to come back another 1,000 times and do it all over again. Maybe that would help my karma, right? No, I'm neither Hindu nor Buddhist, so just rest at ease. All right. Now, did you get your handouts, ladies coming in? Okay. Let's hear from you. First of all, let me just share with you a number one. In Genesis 10 and 11, we don't enjoy reading those passages in public because the whole list of names of nations that are hard to pronounce. I think, why in the world did God use up space in his Bible for that? Well, because he cares about nations. He cares about people groups. They're important to him. And then in chapter 12, God promised to Abraham he would make him a blessing. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And I'll give you a land and a name, and in you all there will be kings that will come forth from you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. An amazing promise. And all of us have been blessed because of Abraham. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Because of Jesus coming as a Jewish man. All right. Who has something to tell us about Leviticus 19? Just call it out. Care for the strangers born among you. Anybody else have something to add to that? Go ahead, Byron. Why?
I said as if born among us.
As if?
As if they were born among you.
As if they were born among us. He gave the reason as well, right? Because you were strangers where? In the land of Egypt. And he says, and then he said, for I am the Lord your God. Reason enough. God cares for the immigrants, the strangers. And it's related to their own journey as an immigrant people, the Jewish people, and the character of God. How many of you are descendants of immigrants? All of you, unless you're an American Aboriginal. Are there any American Indians here? No? Okay, we're all descendants of immigrants, right? So we shouldn't be too hard on them or look too cross-eyed at them, right? Because we all have come from them. All right? Who has a comment to give us from Deuteronomy 10? Don't be shy. Yes, God loves the stranger, the immigrant. Care for them. And it's very interesting in that passage, the tight connection that he has between caring for them and their fearing the Lord. A genuine fear of the Lord is going to result in caring for the immigrants around us. You can read that passage and see it. Who worked on Matthew 6, 9 and 10? Yes.
God's kingdom should cover the earth. And I thought about God as the Father of all.
So it's embedded right in what passage?
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. Okay, now, repeat the Lord's Prayer with me and see if what our brother said is true. Together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That is a missionary prayer right at the heart of it. Your kingdom come. Where does his kingdom come? Where people do his will. And this is to be a worldwide thing. So the Lord's Prayer is a missionary prayer. It's also a prayer for necessary food. God wants us to have the food that we need. He wants everybody to have the food they need. And we need to pray for this. All right, who took a look at Luke 4, 25 to 27? No one took that one. Okay. This is Jesus' care for a foreigner. I forget which foreigner it was right now. But it's interesting, when Jesus interacted with foreigners or spoke of them, if I'm not mistaken, all of those references are positive. The Samaritans, the Syrophoenician, the Roman centurion, and on it goes. In fact, sometimes he pointed out that they had more faith even than his own Jewish followers. Jesus had a very positive view of the foreigners, even though he seldom traveled outside his homeland. It seems like he did one time up to Tyre and Phoenicia, present-day Lebanon. And in that same chapter, we have Jesus' manifesto, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to release the captives," and so on. Jesus really did care for the foreigners. Matthew 24, who took that one? Anyone take a look at Matthew 24?
The gospel is a witness to the world.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
The gospel will go across the world, then man will come.
Exactly. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, shall be announced in all the world as a witness to ta ethne. What does ethne remind you of?
Ethnic.
So he's not talking about political entities. He's talking about ethnic groups. And then he says, and then the end will come. So over your evening meal, I'll give you a conundrum to talk about. You know what a conundrum is? A very difficult puzzle to figure out. Have you been taught that Jesus could come at any moment, day or night? Yes or no?
Yes.
Are your preachers still preaching that?
Yes.
Okay, now here he says that the end won't come until every people group has received the gospel. Proclamation. And missiologists, people who study missions, say there's still about 6,000 unreached people groups. So we're safe from Jesus coming back right away, right?
Safe?
So you can talk over that one over supper, right? I'm not answering the conundrum for it. There's an answer for it. It's not right on the surface, but okay. And then number 7, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. What does that have to do with the topic?
Teach all nations.
We are to teach all nations, all the ethne. Okay? How else does it apply? To creating a world vision, becoming global Christians. Anyone else work on that one? Well, it's very interesting. There are 5 alls in that passage. One is implicit and 4 are explicit. Can you find them? He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and preach, go and make disciples of what? All the people groups, and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. How many have we got so far? You didn't count, right?
3.
And then I will be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Now, where's the other all? I said there's one that's implicit. All authority has been given to him where? In
heaven
and in earth. All the places, right? And so this obviously is a very clear reference. Jesus is in a major recruitment project to recruit people from every people group to be his followers. And we are a part of that great drama. What a wonderful privilege. It is amazing and wonderful. All right. Did anybody take a look in Luke 10?
Jesus defined your neighbors, not just the guy next door, but anybody you come in contact with.
Especially those who have what?
Faith?
Needs. So the question that came to Jesus was, who is my neighbor? And Jesus turned around and said, who was the neighbor to him that is in need? And remember, the one who was who did the helping was a good Samaritan. Did people have a good view of the Samaritans? No, they hated them. But Jesus chose this Samaritan and placed him in a good light as one who cared for the needy around him. The one who was despised was portrayed positively. Acts 17. I'd like you to turn to that one. We all must see this one. It is so good. Acts 17, 25 to 27. Paul is preaching on Mars Hill. I had the opportunity to set my 2 feet on Mars Hill in December. Have any of you been to Mars Hill? It's not really that big a hill. It's just sort of a knob there. But at least I was able to put my feet where I think maybe Paul did. It felt good. All right. Acts 17, 25 to 27. Watch what Paul said to these Greek pagans. Nor is he God worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood, what? Every nation, every ethnic group, to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Pause. Is God personally involved in the immigration situation? Yes. It says he has predetermined where the peoples move. And then the next verse, he gives the reason. So that they might seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. I love this passage. God is sovereignly at work in this vast movement around the world of all of these immigrants coming and going. And there's one purpose, that people will grope for him and perhaps find him, because he's not far away. And he wants to use us. If you were God and you couldn't get Christians to leave their communities to go to countries where there are unreached people groups, what would be the next strategy that you would have? Just say it. I'd bring them and park them right on the front doorstep, right in the neighborhoods of Christians, right? Because maybe Christians will think, oh, I should share the gospel with this person. That's what he's up to, folks. This is the big story. It doesn't show on the screen on your internet news, or if you still get a newspaper that's left over yet trying to make it. This doesn't appear, but this is what God is doing. Amazing and wonderful. And then 2 Peter 3, verse 9, talks about the long delay in the return of Christ, 2,000 years. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but they should have an opportunity to come to repentance. And then in verse 12, he says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. One version says, speeding up its coming. Did you think about it? That when we target people groups and unreached people from unreached people groups, we are actually hastening, hurrying up the coming of the day of God. Don't you think it'd be a good idea if he'd come pretty soon and clean things up? Yes or no?
Yes, it would be.
And we have the grand privilege of participating in that. All right. You know what? Before you look at the next page, I know you haven't looked at it yet, right? Just call out some things that you have done or people have done things to you that have created a vision for the world. Let's hear it. And then you can add it on the back of your paper.
Telling stories.
Like what kind of stories? Bible stories?
People from other places.
Telling stories about people, about other places. Okay? Other ideas?
Read the news.
And then pray for what's going on. Just breathe a prayer. What else?
Go live in another country.
Let's see, who said that? Go live in another country. Does that help, Jeff? It does. Jeff just came back, how many days now? 3 days? 4 days ago from Bangladesh. So if he goes like this in class, have mercy on him, he's still getting over jet lag. Okay, how many of you have been in another country other than the United States? Or if you're a Canadian, other than Canada. I want to make sure we include the Canadians here. Okay, many of us, it would be great to make a list how many countries we've been in. It would be very interesting. Okay, other ways of creating vision.
Studying other cultures.
By the way, if you go on Amazon and you type in cultures of the world, Mongolia, cultures of the world, Bangladesh, it's a great series that libraries sell off. It's probably high school level or grade school level. And you can get some of them very cheaply. And it's very colorful. not written from a Christian perspective, but it's a great book to have on your shelf. And then when children come to your house, they pick it up and look at it, create interest, plant seeds. Other ideas?
Operation World.
What's Operation World?
A big book.
A big book. Say some more. It's scaring us out. Everybody, every home ought to own a copy of Operation World. If you get a single copy new, it's like $25, but it's worth it. You can get some used copies cheaper than that. Make sure you get the edition 2010. It has all the countries of the world, and you can, if you follow the calendar, you'll pray for all the countries of the world in a year. Each one has information about that country, some of the challenges there, some of the breakthroughs, and then some prayer requests. Great book. Okay? And next one, Byron?
My dad did two things. So growing up, he often talked about missions, and he was interested in missions. And had missionaries over. And then he took our whole family to the mission field for a number of years.
Which field?
Mongolia.
Mongolia. Say something to us in Mongolian. Could you stand up and say it more loudly so this microphone will catch it? Thank you. So we're all going to learn the greeting Semba No, right? For hi in Mongolian. Semba No. Together? Semba No. Tell the person near you. Okay. Look at that. You're speaking Mongolian already. Very, very little, but it's starting. And you can get an application form on your way out. All right. Other ideas for creating mission vision, worldwide vision? Yes, miss.
Just talking with our children. So we walk through our neighborhood in Lancaster City, and there are all these signs out, no matter where you're from, I'm glad you're our neighbor. Well, their hearts are moved just by my talking to them about what's going on.
Yes. That's the prime place, right in our homes, right in our schools, with children, because they catch what we've caught. They'll get it. And Byron talked about it. And one other thing Byron said I'd like to highlight. He invited what into his home? Missionaries. Invited missionaries into home. Ask them to tell their stories. Ask them to bring along something, some food from that country or something like it. Get children tasting it. And then teach your children. This is a very useful verse that we taught our children. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Luke chapter 10, verse 8. You pray it down. You pray that it stays down. And you thank God for it. Get your children to learn to try new foods. Okay? Other things for developing missions vision.
Joshua Project.
What's the Joshua Project?
Websites that lists all the nations.
And so you can type that in. They'll actually send you a daily email highlighting one unreached people group of the day. Yes, miss?
You can get an international student.
You can get an international student to come to your home. How many of you live within a half an hour of a community college or a university? Let's see your hands. You know, there are people on holidays that are there, international students that are all by themselves. Did you know each year 800,000 international students come into the United States? Did you know most of them never set foot in an American home, much less a Christian home? Did you know that the recently elected president of Somalia, who is tasked with forming a government, the first time in 25 years that Somalia has had a central government, he has two citizenships, Somali and American, raised and educated up in Minnesota. I wonder if anybody invited them into his home. I wonder if any Christians invited him to home. There's a couple up there in Grove, I think it's Grove City, Minnesota, when they went as a family to the local Walmart when they were checking out, they saw a Muslim girl as the checkout lady. She had her hijab on. And if she was doing this number, and they were doing this number, and they got into conversation. Are you Muslim? No. Are you Christian? No. Okay. And they had a very interesting conversation, and they've had ongoing interaction with that girl. She was a Somali Muslim lady, young woman. Be alert. And by the way, you might want to change your shopping pattern sometimes and go in off hours, because sometimes immigrants have to work at, and they only get off at odd hours, like maybe at late at night to go to the Walmart. And you could find them there during that time. And when you get close, if you are shy, you just try to say, it rhymes, hi, with a smile. Let's try it. Repeat that with me. If you are shy, try saying hi. You look great. You look great. And you can say, I like to preface with people, my name is Alan, and I'm from this country, or I used to live in, or wherever. And you? I don't try giving them my last name, because sometimes Burkholder, Brubaker, and those kinds of names, Yoder and so on, and Roth, they're hard to pronounce and they're hard to remember. Have you ever noticed how names of other languages are hard to pronounce and remember? Just say your first name, and then you can ask, do you mind if I ask what country you are from? And by the way, if you have started reading through Operation World, you will learn a lot of things. And then the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. Like the person says, oh, I'm from Turkey. Oh, that's interesting. Your capital is Istanbul, isn't it? Their eyes will go like this. They're shocked that Americans even know something about their country. They'll say, well, how did you know that? Oh, I like to read books about other countries, or maybe a book about other countries. You don't have to say it's Operation World. And they will be so impressed. And they'll open up just like a flower that begins to bloom, and you'll get into wonderful conversation. Other ideas about building missions vision in our churches, schools, and families. Yes, sister.
Our church has taken on two Syrian families this past year, and it's just been a wonderful opportunity to take them to appointments and have them into our homes. And they are so hospitable when we go there.
Are you from the church in Canada that has done that? Okay. My apologies for not bringing Canadians in on my conversations like I should. Okay. Now, you said it was so wonderful. What is so wonderful about it?
Well, they view us as their family because they have nobody here, and so they'll come, they've attended our church services, some know that we asked them to, but they wanted to go, and just the friendships that we
have. Yeah, this is an amazing opportunity, folks. Welcoming the refugees into our communities, offering ourselves and our services to organizations. There are organizations that are trying to find people who will adopt these families and help them find their way around and just start from scratch. May the Lord reward you and your church for that ministry. Anything else that comes to mind? Yes, Kevin.
It may be counterintuitive, but I found that becoming involved with even non-international ministries has really opened my eyes to the needs. I think of Jesus in Matthew 9. Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion, but the previous chapters are full of things he was doing. And just being involved in, we have city ministry with some children there, but that has created an openness and an awareness of needs across the globe. You see the multiplicity of those individual needs that you get close to.
Very good. Very good. That's great. Other ideas? Yes.
Acquainting your friends to maybe international friends that you have.
There you're doing a double whammy, right? You're not only befriending international or immigrant people, you are acquainting your friends with them. That's very good, Jaron. Very good. Okay. Take a look on practical suggestions for becoming a global Christian. Now you can peek. Number one, what I did, I started going down here and highlighting the ones I wanted to mention to you. And then finally I thought, I should highlight all of them. Well, then we're not going to have time. Why should I highlight any of them? Well, put a world map on the wall near where you eat. And then as you talk about world news, just have your children say, well, where is Kazakhstan? Let's see if we can find it. And where is Somalia? Go find it on the map. choose one or more missionaries and become regular intercessors for them. You know, missionaries are always asking for more what? You were going to say money, weren't you? No, more prayer. They always ask for more prayer. And then one of the things that we do, I found a little old beat-up box about the size of 4x6. And when we get prayer cards for missionaries, we put them in that box in alphabetical order, along with 3x5 cards for the names of our neighbors. And when we're going to pray for our meal, how many of you pray before you eat? Do you pray before you eat? Oh, okay. So we just pull out one card for a neighbor and one card for a missionary. And when we pray for our meal, we mention them in prayer. Is that hard? That's very easy. But what is it doing? It's planting seeds in the children. We do it when we have our guests. It's planting seeds in our guests. Okay, and then number five. I like to pray regularly. God, please send more workers into your harvest field, and may I be one of them. We should pray this regularly. This is a request that Jesus himself gave to us. How do we get more people into missions? We pray. How do we get more vision? We pray, because what you pray for, you get. And what you pray for gets you. Let us pray. Don't let a day go by without praying for more workers and that you can be one of them. Let's skip down to number 9. You could ask God to show you a city in another country that is unreached, and you could begin to pray for that city. And here's a little story to go with this. Back in the 80s, we were in Philadelphia and took a month of training in Muslim evangelism, and that mission that put it on was doing a push to recruit intercessors for 100 unreached Arab Muslim cities. And so they said, would you like to take one? I said, well, sure, why not? So they said, well, here, you pray for Al Ain. Well, where is Al Ain? You look it up. Well, it's in the United Arab Emirates. Well, where's that? Well, that's one of the Gulf states. So we began praying for it, maybe once a week. God, we ask you to bless the people of Al Ain. It is so amazing. Later on, some years later, about 20 years later, a couple signed up with DNI who went to Saudi Arabia. They were there for 5 years, couldn't return. They went to guess where? Say it. Al Ain. I got to visit them twice. I took a picture of the city sign, Al Ain. Who would ever have guessed? You just never know where your prayers are going to take you. Anyway, that's that's another one. You could, we at one point had our children, we said, we'll give you an allowance, but this is how you can get it. You have to sign up people who will subscribe to the Global Prayer Digest or who will subscribe to the Friends of Turkey sending out gospel letters. And so for each person you sign up to do that, we'll give you X amount of money for your allowance. Now, is that kind of crass or what? But anyway, it worked for quite a while. Okay, get your children to become pen pals with missionary children. Missionary biographies. Many of you, I'm sure, on your shelves, you have, they're like brown color, and they're called Christian Heroes by Jeff and Janet Benge. By YWAM, David Livingston and so on. Every year they come out with a new one. Have you seen those? Have some of you seen those? Okay. Those are great books. They're written about for 7 to 17-year-olds or 7 to 12 or 14. What we do is, at our church, the month of a child's birthday, as a missions committee, that book of the year we give to that child for a birthday present. Or we take a stash of them along with us when we travel and leave one as a hostess gift in homes that have small young children. Get children to reading the missionary biographies, the heroes of missions. This is great. Related to that is Ruth Tucker's book, From Jerusalem to Irianjaya. Get the one that has a hardcover because it's the more recent edition. but it's an overview of missions history in short stories from Pentecost till today. Missionaries from China to China, or African missionaries in Africa, people you've never heard of before. And we read through this with our children. Ruth Tucker is a great writer. It's very interesting. She will present the strengths of the missionary and often will give some of their challenges as well. So it's not just putting people up on a pedestal. But that's a great thing to read through with your children or grandchildren, nieces or nephews. Number 15, you could ask God to help you befriend one local cross-cultural friendship. Why not purposefully go to a doctor who has a strange last name or whose first name is Muhammad? That's a giveaway there, Muhammad. All right. One night in somewhere in Ohio, some little town, we had a board meeting. And after it was done, I went to get my gas, get the gas for the car. And the guy that served me, I thought, now he doesn't sound like he has a Hispanic accent. I wonder where he's from. Here he was from Yemen, of all places, right around the corner from the church. That's where I would want to get my gas. You say, well, their gas is a little bit higher. You know what? You put money in the offering plate to send missionaries all the way around the world. Why can't you pay a few more cents to somebody local and cultivate their friendship? My dentist is Dr. Patel. His office doesn't look that great, but he does great work, and it's pretty cheap. And he's a Hindu. Patel is a Hindu caste in India. So cultivate those friendships. Go instead of going to McDonald's, choose a great ethnic restaurant or eatery. Just look up in the Yellow Pages or Google it. That's how people do it today. Google it. Ethnic restaurants in wherever. And then choose one of those. Maybe steer away from the Mexicans and the Chinese because those are so common. Go to something different. Very interesting. And try it. And then you could take some literature along with you from that language and offer it to them. Number 20, take your family or your Sunday school class to an immigrant community in one of our great cities. Do you know that in Dearborn, Michigan, right on the outskirts of Detroit, there are over 100,000 Middle Eastern Arabs? It's like when you went there, you stepped into the Middle East. And they'll look at you wondering why you're there, because you're the minority. Oh, the olives are great, folks. And the baklava, oh, that pastry is so good. And you'll get into some wonderful conversations, just not very far away, in these great ethnic communities in our cities. let's see. Go down to 24. Did you know that in this country, see those numbers there? Across the churches in America, I can't say if it's the same in Mennonite churches. I don't think it is. 95 cents out of every dollar put in the mission plate stays right in America for our AC, padded seats, and you name it. Only 4.5 cents goes to missions among people groups that have more than 5% Christian. Only 0.5 cents goes to unreached people groups. Now let that soak in. If we don't change what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting. And the unreached will continue being unreached. And the return of Christ will continue to delay. You might want to take a look at your church's giving patterns and see how much of your offerings are actually going into missions and how much of your missions offering is actually directed toward the unreached people groups, whether they are nearby or far away. And then I suggest that number 28 tonight, when you go home, take a look at the tag on your clothes and see where it was made. I bet in here we'll have things from all over the world. Bangladesh, Cambodia, DR, Dominican Republic, and El Salvador, and China, of course. Or when you're going to buy a product, take a look at it, turn it upside down. Where is this made? And then just breathe a prayer for that country. Okay, you know what? I'm soon going to have to stop here. Next page. Look at letter C. I have a list of resources for you that you can peruse. And I should mention halfway down there, Operation Prayer Videos. If you go to that website, there are about 60 different videos, 3 to 4 minutes. And you'll see pictures of different part of that country and prayer requests, or you may hear someone praying in English for that country. It's a great way to pass on vision to the people around us. The multi-language media here in Lititz has a great number of resources in over 80 languages. The Jesus DVDs, they are so wonderful. They use the script of the Gospel of Luke to present the story of Jesus with an opportunity at the end to pray to receive Christ. They're in hundreds of languages. And some of these CDs, for about, if you get them in quantity, $1 a piece, or if you just get a few, $2.50 a piece, they'll have 16 different languages on them. And you can use them as a gift for that friend in your neighborhood that you are befriending. Now, I want to conclude with the conclusion there. The early Anabaptists had made plans to reach the whole of Europe. They actually laid plans two by two who would go to which country. It was a meeting of 60 church leaders just shortly after the beginning of the Anabaptist movement. They had actually heard about the red men across the sea in the New World. Within 2 years, all but two or three of those 60 men had been martyred. So then it was no longer being called the Missionary Conference, it was being called the Martyrs Conference. Wouldn't that be great if coming out of reach, there would be all kinds of plans for a scattering all over the world, including right in our own countries, in Canada and the U.S., to reach the people from every people group of the world. Folks, missions is not just over there. It is right here. What a wonderful time in history to live. God bless you. Enjoy. And tonight, check the tag on your clothes to see where it's made.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.